Jesus away from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? And they answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. If there's ever a case of prejudgment, there it is. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spoke, signifying what death he should die. Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell it of me? Pilate answers, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered and said, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone that is of truth heareth my voice. And Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and said unto them, I find no fault at all. One thing we're confident of course, is that God is quite capable of blessing his word as we have read it together publicly. There are many questions in this passage, any one of which we could profitably consider. In fact, I think there are six. Questions asked by Pilate to the Jews. Questions asked by the Jews to Pilate. Questions asked by Pilate of the Lord Jesus. And one question, of course, that the Lord Jesus addresses to Pilate. And any one of these would be profitable for us to study. But the one I have chosen, as Bill mentioned, is, I think, one of the most vital that can ever be asked. And I'm not sure that in the quietness of most people's minds that this question has not been asked sometime or another. And it is a simple question, what is truth? What is truth? William Cowper, who wrote many beautiful hymns, wrote a poem called Hope. And in that poem he writes this line, And differing judgments serve but to declare the truth lies somewhere, if we knew but where. Truth lies somewhere, if we knew but where. Now there are many that think that Pilate asked that question in a frivolous frame of mind. That it was in fact frivolity or sarcasm. I don't think so. I think the man was thoroughly confused. The Jews had brought this man to him to be put to death. They had predetermined the outcome that in fact he was to die. And yet from this passage and other passages, we find that as Pilate talked to the Lord Jesus, he was more than ever convinced that he had an innocent man standing before him. The Jews were telling him something. The Savior was telling him something else. And in the middle of this confusion, he comes out with this question, What is truth? I don't think he was being sarcastic at all. I think it was a question of genuine inquiry. And as I said, I believe it's the question that has crossed the mind of most of us at some phase or another in our lives. Now, we read from John's Gospel. And in his Gospel, John has many recurring themes. If you want to know about life, then you read John. If you want to know about love, you read John. If you want to know about light, you read John. And I'm going to suggest to you too, that if you want to know about truth, you read John. 26 or 27 times in his Gospel, he uses the word truth. About three times more than the other Gospel writers put together. And I think if he's going to write about truth, and we want to learn about truth, then John, I believe, is going to be of considerable help to us. Because John not only tells us what truth is, he tells us what truth does. It's one thing to know the truth. It's another thing to allow that truth to so operate in your life that you get the benefit that it brings. And I just want to select some comments that John has made about truth to draw, first of all, a definition, and secondly, the dynamics of truth. Now, I looked up truth in a dictionary, and a very good one, in the English Oxford Dictionary. And when I read the definition, I must confess, I was confused. And I really cannot find in any good dictionary a clear definition of truth. But I think most of us would accept something along the lines of that which is provable, that which is unchallengeable, that which is right, that which is dependable, that which is reliable, that which is firm. And we can go on and on using adjectives that indicate to us that when we're looking at truth, it is correct, it is right, it is unchallengeable. And as we have that human definition in mind, and we look at what John tells us about truth, then I think we can see how valid his comments really are. In John chapter 17, he allows us to break in through the Spirit of God on a very private and personal conversation. I love John 17. It's a conversation between the Lord Jesus and his Father. And as the prayer is introduced to us, the Lord Jesus says of his Father, "Thou art the only true God." And if you look up that word true, it is the idea of real and substantial. And so here in this chapter you have God speaking to God. And it's interesting, it's in that chapter that we get one of the definitions of truth. As God the Son talks to God the Father, he makes this comment, "Thy word is truth." Thy word is truth. Now, what's a word? A word is simply the expression of a thought. A lot of the things we think, we have the sense not to say. Because either we would look stupid, or we would hurt somebody, or as they say, you know, it's better to be thought a fool than open your mouth and prove it. And so a lot of things we think, we don't say. But those things that are of value, and things that we really want to express, we take those thoughts and we put them into words. Hopefully, in most cases, very simple words, so the other person can understand. And so what the Lord Jesus is saying here as he addresses his Father is that your expressed thoughts are truth. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Because you have a book in your hand or in the pew in front of you in which the thoughts of God are now recorded. And I don't think we're taking this expression too far when we say that the Bible that we have in our hands is the Word of God. And therefore, if it's the Word of God, it is true. It is right. It is reliable. It is provable. That being the case then, we look at what it tells us and we reject it. You see, it tells us the story of creation. It tells us how in 7 days God made the universe in 6 days and rested on the seventh. But today that's not believed. We have the theory of evolution. But the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. And as we read the story of creation, we are reading the absolute truth. The scientists in NASA do a lot of predicting. In order that they may send spacecraft up, they do calculations that carry them into 1,000 years from now. And on one occasion when they started this project, the computer kept throwing up a red light. And when they looked at their calculations, they were a day out. And the computer would not accept the calculations because they were a day out. And as they puzzled over this, a Christian who was a member of the team suddenly thought, I think we can get some help from the Bible. And so he took his teammates to the story of Joshua and showed them how the sun stood still for a day. Well, they accepted that and they fed it into the computer and it still wouldn't compute. It was 40 minutes out. He said, wait a minute, let's go to the book of 2 Kings. And there the sun went backwards 10 degrees. There was the 40 minutes that they were looking for. And by accepting the truth of what the Bible recorded, they were able to get on with their calculations and plan for future space visits. You see, the Bible is true. It has the story of the Garden of Eden and the fall of man. It tells us how sin came into the world and how human lives were wrecked and were affected by this sin. It's true. It's the Word of God. And yet this is one teaching of Scripture that's rejected today. But you know, when Paul is writing to the Romans and he's talking about the downward path that man has gone, he says this. One of the things that the human race has done is to change the truth of God into a lie. And so the Bible is challenged today because man refuses to accept its truth. We have the history of God's dealings with Israel. We have a record of man's need of a Savior. And we have a record of that Savior being provided. We can read the story of the Lord Jesus coming to save sinful man. And behind it is this one firm fact Thy word is truth. Now, much of the word of God, of course, has been proven by history. And people are finding out more and more today, as they go through archaeology and other things, that the Bible is true. Well, the Lord Jesus is telling us that when he says, Thy word is truth. But let me remind you, too, that the Bible also speaks of the future. And if what it has spoken about the past is not only true, but has been proved by history, can we doubt that the future record is not true? And when God speaks about a throne of judgment, when he talks about judgment falling upon this earth, is there any reason to believe that those predictions are not true? They're contained in that book that you have in front of you. And coming from that lovely conversation again, we have this affirmation, Thy word is truth. Let me digress for a moment and speak to Christians. Much of the Christian community today is rejecting the teaching of the Scriptures. I think to do that is to turn to God and say, Your word is not true. Your word is a lie. And I believe that Christians, oh, they don't mean to, of course. Those things are not important anymore. They don't apply to today. But Thy word is truth, is the edict from the Savior. And we need to be careful how we treat that book of truth in our hands. But the Lord Jesus goes on in John 14:6 to say of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so John is telling us that truth is not only found in a book, it's found in a person. And if truth is found in a person, then what it means is that what that person says is also true. And yet how easily people reject the words of the Lord Jesus today. He said, for example, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the door. He says, ye must be born again. Now, if these statements are coming from one who could say, I am the truth, then surely we have to believe them. We have to take notice of them. In fact, on one occasion, the Lord Jesus, speaking of his adversary, the devil, says this of him, the truth is not in him. And yet people today will listen to the devil before they'll listen to Christ. On the one hand, that is the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the other, the Lord calls the father of lies. And he says there's no truth in him. And yet because the devil allows us, we think, to do what we like, we're much more ready to listen to the devil than we are to Christ. Shane reminded us last week of the demands that Christ makes upon a human life. And you see, if we're not prepared to meet those demands, it's easy to say, well, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to take any notice of that. But the one who is the father of the lie, I'll listen to him because he's telling me exactly what I feel. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And notice how careful the Lord Jesus is. When he starts to talk about his disciples about leaving them, he says, I'm going to take somebody else, send somebody else to take my place. Somebody just like me. And what does he call him? The Spirit of Truth. And so today, the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, has gone into heaven. But to work on human lives, he has left the Word of God, which is truth, and he has left the Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of truth, to take the truth of the Word of God and enable us to apply it to our hearts. And let me be quite frank with you. If you're going to ignore the teaching of Scripture, and if you're going to ignore the words of Christ, then you're going to reap the benefits of that, if one can call them that. The wages of sin is death. If you're going to follow the one who does not know the truth, who is the father of lies, then you're going to enjoy the things that he gives, which is death. If you're going to follow the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, then you're going to enjoy all the benefits and blessings that he can give. And our prayer is today that as you think about truth, that you will be prepared to accept that the Word of God is true, and that the Savior himself is the embodiment of truth. And so those are two definitions that John gives us. Truth is crystallized into a book. Truth is personified in a person, in the Lord Jesus. But John goes on to talk about what truth does. In verse 8, chapter 8, the Lord Jesus, talking to his disciples, says, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Freedom comes through acceptance and belief of the truth. The truth is laid out in the Word of God. The truth as seen in the person of Christ can bring liberty to a human life. Well, I've got liberty. I can do what I like. I can go where I like. No, you can't. The Bible talks about two masters. It talks about the Lord Jesus. And Shane reminded us last week, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. And it talks about the God of this world. And the God of this world has the clever idea of let you think you're doing things that you want to. And gradually he's steering you away from the truth. How can you enjoy freedom then, if you're following the one who is the father of lies? The truth is not in him, says the Lord Jesus. And yet men will follow him in preference to Christ. And they wonder why they're not free. They wonder why life is a burden. Why things weigh heavily upon them. Why is when they think of the future, it frightens them. And I tell you, if you're outside of Christ, I can understand that. Says the Lord Jesus, the truth, as embodied in myself and as found in the Word of God, will liberate you. Oh, that's a popular word today, isn't it? Everybody likes that. Because you see, they equate liberation with license. Christians must have a miserable life. They can't do this, they can't do that, they can't go there, they can't have the other thing. I don't want that. I can do what I like. Well, you see, I look at people who are not Christians and I say, how can they get through life? I look at my own life and some of the things I've gone through. How can I go through them without Christ? Impossible. So you see, you've got these two classes. One looks at the other and says they're a miserable lot, and sometimes they got justification for that because you don't smile very often. We look at the others and say, well, how can you enjoy life when you're burdened by this, that, and the other thing? But the truth of the Word of God is this, that acceptance and belief of the truth brings liberty to the human soul. Let's look at one other passage in John. Again, in the prayer of the Lord Jesus in John 17. In verse 17 he says, sanctify them through thy truth. And then in verse 19 he says, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through truth. Here we don't see truth as a liberating force. We see truth as a separating force. Sanctify them through thy truth. What's he talking about? What's the word sanctify mean? Well, it has the idea of separation. And the Lord Jesus is praying for his disciples and he's saying to the Father, I want you to separate them on the basis of truth. And I'm going to separate myself as an example. And I want you, Father, to separate these disciples through the truth. The truth is what separates us in this room today. Those who have accepted the truth, and the Lord Jesus says, you know, in the passage that we read, that people who accept the truth know his voice. People who accept the truth are separated to God. They belong to God. They are God's. And every promise in the Word of God is showered upon the Christian. Spiritual blessing, spiritual strength, enjoyment of life are showered upon those who are separated by acceptance of the truth to God. On the other side again, and I'm not picking you two sides, it just happens to be the side of the platform. There again, the truth comes down in the middle like a sharp knife and separates those who will not accept it from those who do. And let me remind you that that's not a separation just for now. That's an eternal separation. And if we're separated to God, it means that not just in this life, but after this life, we will be forever in his presence. We will forever be his possession. And those who reject the truth will find themselves eternally separated from God. No, these are awesome thoughts. The thoughts that very often a preacher does not like expressing. But, says John, thy word is truth. And that's a challenge, as I said, to every one of us, whether we're Christians or not. It means that what's written in that book is for us. The history recorded in the Bible is true. The promises recorded in the Bible are true. The warnings recorded in the Bible are true. And as we look at the person of the Lord Jesus, we see the embodiment of truth. He never did or said anything that wasn't right, wasn't reliable, wasn't real. All the blessings that flowed from his lips, the promises of blessings are real. The promises of and warnings are real, because they come from the one who is the truth. Maybe we don't like the truth because of what it does. But I tell you this, outside of truth, you have no chance of ever enjoying freedom. The truth shall set you free. Notice the word, shall set you free. I should imagine I've never been in jail except to preach. But you imagine somebody that's there, maybe so many cases today, people are really innocent. But they've been locked up, maybe for a number of years. And somebody comes with a big key, or electronic devices, or whatever they may say. And they open the door, and they say, go, you're free. You think the fella's going to sit there? Something wrong if he does, isn't there? He's gone. As quick as he can. And yet that's what exactly God is doing to you today. As you're bound in your sins, as you're responsible to Satan as your master, God says to you, you can be free. But you're free only by accepting the truth. And across the universe today, the truth of God is a separating force. There are those who have accepted the truth and have been brought into its blessings. There are those who refuse the truth and will face the consequences of doing that. And I would like to appeal to all of us today to realize the value of the truth of the Word of God. To accept its message regarding salvation. To accept its instructions for Christian living. And to say to oneself, I'm so glad that God has shown me the truth. And that's our prayer as we come to the end of this service. That's our prayer. That God will take of the truth of His Word and impress it on your heart, so you might know the freedom and the liberty that comes from knowing and accepting the truth. Shall we pray? Father, there are things in Thy Word that, as human beings, we wish they weren't there. But Thou art a faithful and honest God. And Thou hast laid out very clearly in Thy Word what is truth. And it's from Thy Word that man learns that he's a sinner. It's from Thy Word that man learns that he needs a Savior. And it's Thy Word that identifies that Savior as Christ, the one who Himself was the embodiment of all that is true. And Father, we pray as we have very simply and haltingly presented the facts concerning truth this morning, that He who is the Spirit of truth, He who has been sent to reveal the truth from Thy Word to seeking and needy souls, might operate in our company today and bring some into the freedom that is found in the truth. Father, the boys and girls have heard a similar message. And so we ask, Father, that Thy Spirit may so work with them too, that the profound truths that we've looked at this morning might be very simply presented to them, and that they might know and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. As we separate from each other, we ask that we might go with a consciousness of Thy blessing. And we pray that should there be any outside of Christ, that they'll not rest until they find the truth in Him. Accept of our thanks in His precious name.